If America is to be changed, that change will come from the church. But that means the church must be changed, and that means we need revival.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got an amazing testimony to read to you, the testimony of someone who was transformed in revival. If this could happen across the country, America would be rocked. So what exactly is revival? What happens when, as some put it, God steps down from heaven? Why is revival really America's only hope and the church's greatest need? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday, so we focus on the world, in particular on moral and cultural issues, but I want to go one step further and focus on the solution to the moral and cultural problems we have in America, and that is Jesus working mightily through a revived and transformed people. Friends, it is not too late. I have hope. I believe God will do it. We certainly know God can do it. I believe the scriptures point in the direction of God continuing to move. I do not believe the scriptures tell us that it's all over, throw in the towel. Absolutely not. But without radical change coming in radical ways, we will not see God's holy purposes for the church and the nation fulfilled. In fact, we will see a lot of heartbreak and grief and agony. In that sense, it's revival or else. Thanks so much for joining me on the broadcast. I believe your hearts are going to be stirred and encouraged. This is one of the great themes of my life, revival, visitation, God getting hold of his people in extraordinary ways, where the things that we've longed for and the things we've dreamed about and the things that we always felt God was supposed to do based on what's written in the Word and what he's done in history and what he's doing around the rest of the world, that we live to see these things happen. My own life has been shaped by great moves of God, things that he did that I was a participant in, when he saved me, when he transformed me and renewed me and moved in my life in different ways. It was often in conjunction with larger things that he was doing. So I want to put some teeth on this for you, give you some substance, not just talking ethereal out there spiritual ways, but talk in a way that meets every one of you right where you are, driving in your car, sitting behind a computer at work, standing in the kitchen, jogging with your headphones. This is relevant. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a question about revival, if you have a question about the Brownsville Revival, where I served as a leader from 1996 to 2000, or if you yourself have really been touched and transformed by a true outpouring of the Spirit, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay. Here's this testimony. I found a fax, a letter that we sent by fax to a leading church in England in 1999 asking me some questions about revival. And I found this extraordinary testimony in here that I want to share with you. And it's remarkable. Are you ready for this? We found out about a young man. God had been moving in Pensacola so powerfully over a number of years that people, just about everybody in the area heard about it. Anyone, you go to a restaurant, you go to rent a car, you go to a gas station, everybody had heard about what was happening. And we got a testimony of a young man who was converted as a result of talking with his unsaved friends while drinking on a beach in Pensacola. They began to talk about the revival, mockingly it seems, and he decided he needed to attend. These men then told him how to get to the church. Remember, they were drinking on the beach. And he attended service the next night and was truly converted. In fact, the conversion was so deep that 2 days later, he turned himself into the police, saying that he was running from a six-month prison sentence. One of our students doing prison outreach met him and learned the story. This young man is on fire. Friends, that's what happens during times of revival. We need it.
We'll be right back. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-8788 for the number to call as we talk about true revival, true outpouring, God visiting his people. The word revival is not in most of our English translations, but the word revive is often there from the Hebrew or Greek to quicken, to make alive again, revive. A rock cannot be revived because a rock was never alive. Something that is healthy and vibrant and thriving cannot be revived because it is fully alive. Revival comes to an individual, to a community, to a church that was once alive, once walking with the Lord, and now has backslidden, become cold, become indifferent, become worldly, become discouraged, become beaten down, become a shadow of what it once was. And I want to point to revival in terms of the hope of the church today and therefore the hope of America. If Jesus said in Matthew 6, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And if we are called to be the light of the world, and as I've often said, the greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light, then what we need to do is focus on the light being bright and vibrant and shining. If we, in the words of Martin Luther King, are called to be the moral conscience of the society, which is, I believe, a great articulation of being the salt of the earth, if we are called to do that and to be that, then for sure, the greatest need in America today is not who's in the White House or who's in Congress or who's in the Supreme Court, although all of those things are tremendously important. The greatest need today is not who's leading Hollywood. The greatest issue today is not who's leading the business world. All those things have a great impact on our society, and they're all important. The greatest need, the greatest issue, is that God's people are asleep in the light. The greatest need, the greatest issue, is that so much of the church is compromised, and sadly, so many of us don't even know the power and potential of what God could do when he moves among a yielded group of people, or when he turns our hearts so that we become a yielded group of people. We become that. If you have a question about revival, if you were touched or transformed in revival, by all means, give us a call, 866-348-7884. If you heard controversial things about revival movements or the Brownsville Revival, where I served as a leader for years from 1996 to 2000 specifically, please call. I would love to set the record straight. I'd love to put the truth on the table for everyone. I want to give you a definition of revival in a moment. And throughout the broadcast, I want to share testimonies of those who were touched, because it's these individual lives. I hope you caught the one I just shared before the break. Young men in Pensacola, Florida, drinking on the beach, talking about the revival that was happening because the whole city knew about it, was talking about it, apparently talking about it in a mocking way. He decides he needs to go. They're drinking on the beach. What happened? God's drawing people. God's drawing people. It's bigger. It's more than what just regular church efforts can produce. The Holy Spirit is moving in supernatural and unusual ways, as we would expect him to. God the Spirit working on the earth. Here they're drinking on the beach. This guy decides he needs to attend a service. They tell him how to get there. He shows up, gets radically saved. A couple days after that, he goes to the police and says, I've been running from a six-month prison sentence. And we found out his testimony because some of our students were doing prison ministry and met him in jail. And he's on fire for the Lord. Friends, that is the work of the Spirit in radical conversion and drawing people to himself. That's the kind of thing that happens in revival. That's why you just get on your face and say, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Listen to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, which is a classic text of revival. Psalm 85, you showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. Selah. We don't know exactly what Selah means. Could be a pause, could be a musical notation. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. So you were angry with us. You judged us in your anger. You had mercy on us, but now we're in a mess again. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Now, on the other side of the cross, you could say that this potential is always there for the favor of God to be displayed, for God to revive his people again, restore the passion, the hunger, the desire. Some of you look at your lives and like, yeah, I used to really love the Lord. Yeah, I used to be so passionate. I used to have such a burden for the lost. I used to love to pray. I used to have such faith. Now I'm like a shell of who I was before. Recognize it. Recognize the need. You could be a pastor leading your flock. Everyone thinks you're doing great. And you know that in many ways you're a shell of who you were. You know in many ways you've backslidden from your first love. You become professional. You become proficient. But you've lost that passion, that hunger, that desire, that thirst, that pure and simple love for the Lord. God's saying, turn back to me and I'll turn back to you. He's saying if we humble ourselves and seek his face and draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And who knows? But God might do something so radical in us that it would spark revival in our family or church or our community. And if revival was sparked in enough different groups and individuals and congregations, it would rock the nation. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I take a very relevant question on the phone here, let me read a testimony that was posted on my Facebook page. Just for the record, my wife is away from computer at this time, which is why I post this, but my wife, Summer, was forever changed from the revival in January 1998. Speaking of the Brownsville revival, took place in Pensacola, Florida from 95 to 2000. And the effects of it continue around the world with many who were touched, saved, transformed, preaching the gospel, carrying the fire of God to the ends of the earth. Now check this out. Now, I'm just telling you what happened. Her mom and dad, and her mom and stepdad, said they would take her and her sister to the mall on a shopping spree if they would go. Can you believe it? That's the state of where Summer and her sister were. Mom and dad said, "Look, mom and stepdad, come to the meeting. Come to the meetings in Pensacola. All right, and we'll take you on a shopping spree at the mall." That's what they did. Without getting in too deep, know that she went down one way and came up not the same. I'm truly blessed to call her my wife and friend. I'm also so grateful for the times I myself traveled down from South Georgia and got me a cupful. So very thankful for the men and women who plowed the field for that great outpouring. How wonderful. And Michael and Summer, they're hungry for the Lord, going after the Lord, bearing fruit in ministry right now in Kansas City with others. Here's a testimony from one of our missionaries in China. She and her husband have been serving in China, and I'm 56, they're older than me, so they didn't go over there as teenagers. She said, "I hit the floor in Brownsville and woke up in China." She said, that's the short version. "I hit the floor in Brownsville," meaning she was mightily touched and encountered the power of the Spirit there, "and woke up in China." That's the short version. 4 months after arrival, we found a baby. 8 years later, we have an adopted daughter, which led to four children's homes. I'm stateside now for about 6 months caring for my aging parents. Love my life. Wow. So she and her husband, Pam and Clay, come to Brownsville, get mightily touched. Next thing, they're serving as full-time missionaries. Full-time missionaries in China. And four children's homes as a result of it, taking in babies, adopting a Chinese girl. That's the power of the gospel. That's how God changes lives. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to give you a definition of revival in a moment, but I want to build your faith. I want to encourage you with testimony. Will in Miami, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Yes, hello.
Blessings and mercy be multiplied to you, and thank you for being obedient to the ministry that God has given you. It's blessed.
My joy,
you richly.
Sir. Thank you.
I've heard so much about revival, and you know, I'm getting myself in a position as far as fasting and praying, you know, and I'm looking for the Lord. I'm seeking him out, and I quite honestly, I'm hearing him, so I know I'm on the right track, but what is this revival, and how can I get it, because I want it?
Yes, well, everything starts in our personal relationship with God. Everything ultimately flows out of a recognition that there is more, that God has promised to work in our lives more deeply, that we can know him more intimately, that we can bear far more fruit. It starts with hunger and thirst. We thank God for where we are day by day. We seek to bear fruit day by day. But we get to this point where we say, God, I've got to have you fill my life in a deeper way so I can make a greater impact on this world. I've got to know you more deeply. There must be more. And as we go after him and seek his face, not to earn it, but out of hunger and thirst, what will happen is he'll begin to draw you closer. He'll create a deeper hunger in you. He'll show you areas in your life where there needs to be repentance and enable you to turn, and then you'll find him carrying you to a deeper place. Ride that wave. I'm going to comment on this more, Will, later in the broadcast, but thanks for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I go any further, as we're talking about revival, let me read a definition that I wrote out years ago while teaching on the subject, and then I want to return to a question that Will asked, which is, how do I see personal revival come? We're talking about the need for national revival, but we're not talking about the need in the world, the society at large. We're talking about the need among God's people, among us. And as God works in us, as something happens in us, then it will affect the nation. First, let me give you my definition. Then let me explain why I say revival will impact the nation. And then let me comment further on how this pertains to us individually. If you've got a question about revival, if you have a testimony of being transformed in a genuine outpouring of the Spirit, please call 866-348-7884. You can post on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Revival, my definition, is a season of unusual divine visitation resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Can I read that again? Revival is a season of unusual divine visitation resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Why do I say that something like this, true revival, would have an impact on the nation? Notice I'm not talking about scheduling a revival or holding a revival, as especially some Christians in the South talk about. We have a revival every year at the pastor's anniversary. Oh, yeah, we have revival every year the first week of September. You might have some special meetings. You might schedule some special speakers. You might have some momentarily inspirational times, but that's not revival. As the term has been used in terms of the great awakenings and outpourings of the past and the first and second great awakening in America or the Welsh revival or things like that that we look back to and revere what God did. When God really transforms us, think about this. We start living passionately. Believers are not just showing up at a service on a Sunday morning. They're going after God. They're turning away from sin. Look, we have stats of at least 50% of church-going American men view pornography at least once a month. Perhaps I'm underestimating that stat. What happens when it's now 2% instead of 50%? Or even 5% instead of 50%? What happens when we're not wasting our resources, wasting our time, wasting our energies? What happens when we're pressing into God as families and now moms and dads, instead of getting divorced because they just couldn't get along anymore, take hold of the Lord, humble themselves, and now they're serving God together and their kids are blessed? What kind of impact does that have on the society? What kind of impact does it have when we're now sharing our faith with vibrancy and there's something attractive about our faith and people look at us and they say, I want what you have. I need what you have. What happens when hardcore sinners start getting saved? When leading drug dealers get saved, when corrupt businessmen get saved, when godless politicians get saved, when nominal social pastors who don't really know the Lord get saved, and they don't just become socially oriented, but spiritually oriented as well. What happens? Of course it's going to have an impact. Of course it's going to have a transforming effect. If you look at American history, key times in American history, what shaped us, what turned us, was outpourings of the Spirit, revival. Some even say the Wild West was tamed through revival movements. So it brings us down to the individual question. Yes, corporately, we should be praying together and saying, God, pour out your Spirit. Even if your own church is healthy and strong, I assure you there's more that God wants to do. And to take this deeper, not only is there more that God wants to do among us, God's people, but there are plenty of churches that are languishing, that are struggling. Don't we want to be praying for them? And there's so many lost people to be reached, and it seems there's a wall up and they're not listening. We need revival. We need outpouring. It's happening in much of the Muslim world, with many, many Muslims getting radically, dramatically, supernaturally saved. It's the answer to prayer and crying out and the Holy Spirit moving and touching. And all we're concerned about is not some outward expression of emotion or some outward manifestation. All we're concerned about is Jesus radically changing us so that we can love him heart, soul, mind, strength, and go out and change our world. So what do you do individually? I'm going to continue to talk about this through the entire 2 hours of the broadcast, but I believe it was an evangelist named Gypsy Smith who said this. Maybe others have as well. When he was asked how to pray for revival, he said, draw a circle on the ground, get inside the circle, and say, God, revive everything inside the circle. One time in my study at home, I was praying late at night, and there's a little carpet on the hardwood floor there, and I just went and stood on the little carpet, and I said, God, revive everything standing in this carpet. Revive everything inside this circle. What are we praying for? That first love will be recovered where it's been lost. That deeper devotion will be there. Deeper holiness, deeper purity, deeper love for the Lord, deeper love for our neighbor. The Holy Spirit working powerfully in us to make us overcomers. The Holy Spirit working powerfully in us to convict us of what's wrong and draw us into what's right. The Holy Spirit working powerfully in us to make us witnesses. Jesus being glorified through us instead of just a little flicker. No, vibrant flame. You know, many of you online, you look, the signal's low, or you're making a cell phone call, the signal's low. That's how a lot of us live spiritually. God wants that signal vibrant, filled, that renewed life that we walk in. And when it happens church-wide, whoa, the effects are incredible. I'm going to share some amazing testimony stories from the past and present as the broadcast goes on. So as always, you can catch the entire 2 hours online at askdrbrown.org. Just click on the Line of Fire. Also, do you have my book, Time for Holy Fire? It was best known when it came out in the second edition, From Holy Laughter to Holy Fire, America on the Edge of Visitation. And we reissued in the third edition, Time for Holy Fire, with a new introduction. If you don't have the book, by all means get it, because it will really inspire you. Oh, that's what revival is. Oh, that's what the scriptures mean. Oh, that's what happened in history. It'll light a fire in you. The opening poem, The Rhyme of the Modern Parishioner, I believe, will stir your heart. Maybe I'll even read it before the broadcast is over. And here's the deal. We're putting it together in a special package. We save, $15, $17, together with A Queer Thing Happened to America. As I was at National Religious Broadcasters this weekend and met different leaders, I had so many of them say to me, that is the book. That is the book that sounds the alarm in an encyclopedic way, lays out the needs in the nation today in terms of homosexual activism. We need revival in the church to touch these people dearly loved by God. So the two books together, Queer Thing Happened to America and Time for Holy Fire, one lays out the urgent needs, the other lays out the incredible possibilities. Get the two together for just $30. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Online, you can order at AskDrBrown.org. And click on the Line of Fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Let me encourage every one of you who's been waiting and thinking, join in now. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. Or sow in an additional gift. We are moving towards meeting our goals. And as you hold our hands up, boy, we are going to help keep helping spark revival in the nation. Friends, if not now, when? Let's cry out to God and believe Him.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Another testimony I just looked at now, I'm going to share with you in a moment as we talk about revival. Wednesdays, we focus on the world, moral, cultural issues here. We're talking about the key to the problems in society, the key to the problems in the church, revival, visitation, that unusual divine presence, that extraordinary season of God coming in a unique and transforming way, and suddenly things that took years to accomplish can happen overnight. Oh, discipleship still takes time, and we still have to grow. Just amazing. Listen to this. From Stephen, I was talked into going to church by my wife. Our kids were enrolled at a Christian daycare run by an Assembly of God church in Biloxi, Mississippi. My wife and I were Catholic. That first Sunday, I felt compelled to help the church with their worship team because they were really bad. For 6 weeks, the worship leader allowed me to play drums for them, knowing I wasn't saved. Wow. We'd meet every Sunday in the pastor's office before service. I would sit there and pretend because I really didn't know how to pray. On that sixth weekend, a ministry team came from Brownsville to speak at our church. So talking about the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. I served there as a leader from 96 to 2000, and I'm an eyewitness to many of the extraordinary things he did. What happened? It's the way some have described it. God stepped down from heaven. That's the way it feels. Or Jesus is here. Well, he's always. No, you don't understand. It's real. Come on. I'm going to finish this testimony in a moment, but think of it. We say that Jesus rose from the dead. We say that we believe in heaven and hell. We say that we're saved and all that. But our lives in so many ways resemble the world. I don't even mean in terms of outward sin or inward corruption of heart. I mean in terms of priorities, attitudes. Think of getting staggered with the revelation, Jesus died for me and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and sent his spirit and is returning. And when he returns, I'm going to become like him, be with him forever. And now I'm on a sacred mission to go and make disciples. I tell you, we'd live differently than we live. So here, you've got a guy, Catholic background, in an Assembly of God church, so charismatic Pentecostal church, talked into going with his wife. He's a drummer. He wants to help the team leading worship because they're so bad. Worship leader knows he's not a Christian, a true Christian, doesn't know the Lord, and decides, okay, we'll just let him play. Obviously a strategy to try to reach him. So he goes into the pastor's office before the service, and they all pray. He just sits there and pretends because he's not a believer. He's in a charismatic church. He's raised Catholic, but either way, he doesn't know the Lord. So now the sixth weekend, a ministry team comes from the revival in Pensacola to speak at the church. It's February of 97. They were in the pastor's office that Sunday morning praying. When I got there, I walked into a presence I knew I was not worthy to be in. I began weeping and did so for the next 4 hours. By the end of the day, both my wife and I were the Lord's. That was in February of 1997. Friends, people often tell me that when they hear me on the radio, they can hear the smile on my face. I hope you can hear the tears in my eyes. Wow. I mean, that's what happens. The presence of God is there. What was the difference? Was it powerful preaching or a great video presentation or incredible PowerPoint or unbelievably produced drama or the best music? And oh, we use all those things, sure. But it's the presence of God that makes the difference. And that's what happens in seasons of revival, a season of unusual divine visitation. That's where it starts. That's everything flows out of that. How utterly remarkable. He walks in to that same room where he's been 6 weeks, and he realizes there's a presence there he's not worthy to be in. He weeps for the next 4 hours. By the end of the day, he and his wife belong to the Lord. 15 years ago, I'd say, that's real, lasting fruit.
It's the The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast as we talk about revival today, the hope of the church, the great need of the world society. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are not talking about crazy meetings. We are not talking about scheduling special speakers. We're talking about God visiting his people in unusual ways. Those times of deep repentance, those times of supernatural transformation and renewal, those times where God is radically converting sinners. If you yourself have been transformed in revival, or if you have got a question about revival, by all means, give me a call, 866-348-7884. I want to inspire, and I want to be as practical as possible. Charles Finney, a revival presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden state. And a revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and in the conversion of sinners. You may have a lot of emotion, you may not. You may have unusual things happening in the meetings, you may not. If you'll study great awakenings and other past revivals in history, you'll find that people were often touched in unusual ways. It makes sense in that when something radical happens to you, that there can be a radical expression of weeping, of conviction, being undone by your sin and fainting, collapsing. I mean, that's often happened through history. People in Scripture that encountered the Lord or an angel of the Lord were completely overcome and fainted like dead people. That shouldn't surprise us. Jonathan Edwards said that people can have all these unusual things happen, but that doesn't prove it is God. It doesn't prove it's not God. What you have to do is look at the lasting fruit. You have to line things up with Scripture and then look at the lasting fruit. And what we would tell people night in, night out in the Brownsville Revival, I was personally there a good 800 meetings and then day sessions and then meetings on the road around the world. We tell people repeatedly, we don't care if you fall or shake. Our only issue is when you walk out the building, how you're living. And Steve Hill, the evangelist, would commonly say the true test of an evangelist ministry is 5 or 10 years down the line. So it was thrilling to see the crowds. It was thrilling to see people getting online at 6 in the morning and waiting 12 hours to get into a night meeting. I'm talking about thousands of people coming from around the world, 140 nations represented in the meetings over a period of years. Extraordinary testimonies that boggle your mind. You hear them and you're almost speechless. You just break down weeping when you hear what God has done. But the issue was not how big the crowds were. The issue was not what time they got online. You have to realize something's happening for people to be standing online for 12 hours to get into a meeting. Something's going on. We can't get people to show up on time most of the time for our church services, and here they're getting online 12 hours before the doors open, and it's another hour before the service starts. And you could have the line a block and a half long at 6 in the morning already. And it's only 6 because we told them they couldn't get online earlier because they used to get out of the meeting at midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, get a bite somewhere, and then come in sleeping bags and start sleeping outside the building at 3 in the morning. We said, no, you can't get online until 6. This went on for several years from around the world. Something's going on. This is without advertising. This is word of mouth and the Holy Spirit drawing people. But the big issue was not the size of the crowds. The big issue was lasting fruit. How are you living years later? Is your life transformed? And I'm blown away whenever I hear these testimonies of lives radically transformed and the fruit years and years later. And many of the people who were touched in that particular move of God, we know personally, and they are serving God on the mission field, and they are serving God all over America, and their lives have been forever changed by what Jesus did. Finney said, a revival always includes conviction of sin on the part of the church. Backslidden professors, meaning backslidden professors of Christianity, cannot wake up and begin right away in the service of God without deep searchings of heart. The fountains of sin need to be broken up. In a true revival, Christians are always brought under such conviction. They see their sins in such a light that they often find it impossible to maintain a hope of their acceptance with God. It does not always go to that extent, but there is always, in a genuine revival, deep convictions of sin and often cases of abandoning all hope. God's rejected me, it's over, and then his love comes and touches those hearts, and the acceptance is a matter of extraordinary joy. 866-34-TRUTH. Maurice in Somerset, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Jesus Christ, God Almighty, bless you. Thank you for feeding daddy sheep. And we must understand about revival. In order for revival to take place, it's very important that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto us according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. as God's word says, to put him in remembrance for revival. Therefore, we need to be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children, imitate our Father. And at all times, the body of Christ, in order for you to have a revival, I always pray for the body of Christ and Israel, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, blood, and may grant your spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and insights, mysteries, and secret, intimate, deep knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so you can know and understand the hope to which he's called you, that we may bankrupt hell and souls and finances. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
All right. Amen, Maurice. And I appreciate those scriptural prayers. I appreciate your heart in praying God's word for us, God's people, because that's all we're talking about is to get up to the level that God's called us to get up to be the people he has destined us to be, to be the people for whom Jesus has died, to demonstrate to the world the power and potential of what God could do through human beings. Anything else you wanted to add in, Maurice, in your own words?
Well, what's most important in order for this to take place, all of us, for unity and harmony to be done in the body of Christ, we must have our minds transformed only by the word of God. We're new creations in Christ Jesus, the manifest of his word. That's what it's all about. Be a doer of his word and not a hearer only. And we can
right.
do
so, so, so in other words, we're not talking about just some out there emotional experience. We're talking about God's people really living as God's people. And I tell you, if we will get in the Word, read the promises of God, read about who he is, read about who he's called us to be, it makes us realize how far off we often are, and by his grace, what he wants to call us into. Hey, Maurice, thanks for the call and the scriptural prayers. I remember a previous call from Maurice, and immediately he began praying the Word on the air. So I heard it, and I remembered, and those are great prayers to pray, praying the Word for us, God's people. 866-34-TRUTH. Josh in Toledo, Ohio, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, this is Josh, big redhead guy from school.
Oh, all right, man. Great to hear from you, buddy. I remember getting on your case when you were the referee in one of our volleyball games. But you took it, though. If you remember, though, we were so spiritual at the School of Ministry then, in Brownsville, that we would pick teams. This is our one social event of the semester. We'd have teams like China, India, Israel, whatever. And
That's
then
right.
before each game, we would intercede for the salvation of those nations.
And then got pictures of all that too.
Amazing. And then we would play. Hey man, first just tell me quick where you are, what you're doing, and then I'd love to hear your testimony.
Well, just along the lasting fruit side, you know, here we are. I graduated in 99, and you know, Stacy, who my wife graduated in 2000, and we're serving in Toledo, Ohio as lead pastors of a church.
Wow.
We are seeing just a move of God right now here. We've just been, you know, just radically changing our community. And
how
only,
so? Give me an example.
We're serving meals, compassion based. I'm involved in the Chamber of Commerce. We're doing all these things, and in the last 3 months, we've seen a growth from 80 to 120 every single week.
Praise God.
We're looking at the potential of church planting. We're looking at the next step of what's coming. And we're at numbers that this church, when I came, taking it from traditional to saying, you know what, we're going to go after it. And just, you know, I said, every Sunday I stand up, you know, it's salvation call. And say, you know, when we're trained in ministry, seeing 1,000, you know, some people run to the altar every night, your life is different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not only from watching, but also having been, you know, serving there at the school and stuff. And so raising up the next level of ministers, we've every church we've been at, we've pastored and planted in the next set of leadership, saying, you know, you're going to take my position and I'm going to move on, and leaving leadership in place, just replicating what God did in our life.
Wonderful. So, Josh, if you had to sum up the impact on being in the midst of revival in Pensacola during those years, being in the school, being in the services, how would you sum up what happened in your own life, the changes that took place?
The major change, I came out of a Catholic background, but the major thing was that, this fits into all the stuff, that just a radical element of salvation and deliverance. You know, I was practicing homosexual for 8 years. Mm. And that, you know, through the services and stuff, that God just totally delivered and walked us through and radically changed. To today, I have the opportunity to have men in my church that have come out of the lifestyle and able to minister to them and be a voice even here, you know, in Toledo, Ohio.
And tremendous. And Josh, because there are always skeptics out there, are you attracted to your wife?
Yes, I am. And we got three little kids. So, you know, hey, we're moving along.
Wonderful. Listen, I am so thrilled to hear the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and I'd love to connect with you and your church one day. So thanks for calling, and say hi to Stacy. The Lord is faithful.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right. Friends, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. 8 years practicing homosexual, delivered change by encountering God, repenting, growing, and now bearing fruit as a dad, as a pastor. That's the Lord. Where's the God of revival?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're focused on revival today. One of the great themes, burdens, visions of my heart, my life. A revived church can have a revolutionary impact on society. A complacent church, a stale church, a church that's lost its first love. God's people compromise with the world or weighed down in discouragement or compromise with sin or just becoming professional and doing everything right but without the vibrancy of God in our midst. We're going to hurt the society rather than help it. I believe with all my heart that God wants to pour out His Spirit on the Church of America today. I believe with all my heart that a great repentance movement is still possible. I believe with all my heart that America can be shaken and that it's even possible for our best days to be ahead. I believe it's possible. With God, all things are possible. I'm not talking about the latest church growth program, and those have their places. I'm not talking about the latest discipleship plan, and that's very important. Those things have their place. I'm talking about visitation that enables us to see all these other things happen with power and with force and with might and with growth. You know what it's like? We're plowing the fields and we're sowing the seeds, but we need the rain to come. We need the rain to come. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a revival testimony or if you have a revival-related question, Anna asked this question on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. How can we have revival when most people in the church don't realize that they need it? The church in North America is made up of mostly people who have been blessed by God with prosperity, so how will people come to seek revival? And I answered, Anna, they recognize their great spiritual need. The Lord can easily make this happen. And they see the desperate condition of society, and they become desperate for God. Why not? Why not? Friends, in the late 1960s, a prayer movement began for the youth of America and young people in other parts of the world that were caught up in the counterculture revolution, drugs, sexual revolution, the Eastern religions. And God answered those prayers and moved not just around America, but around the world in what we call the Jesus People Movement. That's when I got saved. And it was a radical thing where suddenly 20, 30 hippies are showing up at a traditional church with 100 people. Where'd they come from? That's the one place they're not going to look for God because that's too traditional. They start getting saved in ashrams in India and in drug houses in Germany. And I've met the people as I've traveled the world, and I got saved. That's how I got saved in 1971. God just stepping down, doing something unique, unusual. And if we can see what He's done in the past and get a glimpse of that, shouldn't we be praying for it fervently today? Shouldn't we be asking God, Lord, do it again in our day? If you don't have my book, Time for Holy Fire, I'll tell you how to get that momentarily, but we've got it as a special resource. It is the best, most important book I've written to stir the hearts of God's people for revival, and I'll be sharing more out of it in the second hour, so be sure to catch the next part of this broadcast online or later today at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. David in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, this is David. November 18th, 1974 was when I was saved. I was stoned on LSD, had been a junkie or a needle jockey for about 8 years. I'd gone to about 95 pounds. I went to see a gentleman on how to get off drugs. Doctors had no answers. Wasn't rich enough for Betty Ford.
And how anyway, old were you then, guy, David, how old were you at that time?
I think I was 19.
19. And how long have you been on drugs?
I had been on drugs at that time for 8-10 years. I started in junior high.
Wow, amazing.
And
all right, so what did the Lord do?
Well, I went to see this guy, and he had the audacity to start talking to me about Jesus. And I was stoned on LSD. I got up to walk out, and he started talking to me about the days that he did drugs. I'm looking at a really clean-cut guy, a real pretty wife, middle-income house. And it's like, when I walked in, it's like, this guy can relate to me. But he dropped down to my... where I was at, and he had came out of where I had where I was, and he started talking to me about trips that he had did, and it got me to sit back down. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 5 o'clock, and we were done, he had led me to the Lord. The moment that I asked Jesus into my heart, immediately I was stone sober, cold, flat, straight.
For those listening, you don't instantly get out of an LSD trip.
No,
these things last for hours.
It's like drinking, like getting drunk. You're not sober until the next day. But this was the immediate opposite. I was stone straight. I could feel God coming through me from the top of my head, out my feet, in rushes. Every 10 seconds is like a huge body rush that lasts for 2-3 days. And that was the end of my drugs. And I wasn't a junkie of just heroin. I have shot 200 proof whiskey, put it in a needle and shoot it in my arm for the high. And
you know, David, I thought I was the only one that ever tried that with my friends. So I guess there are other crazy people out there, but we're almost at the end of the hour here, but David, that season, 1974. So, I mean, you got 8-10 years of heavy drug use, drug addictions. You're November 18th, 74. You're instantly set free when Jesus comes into your life. That's part of this season I was just talking about, the Jesus People movement, the Jesus Revolution. It lasted from the late 60s into the early to mid 70s, where it was at its height. And so many of us got transformed. And, you know, you see other people struggling and we want to help them as they struggle and help them get whole. But we know that God can actually do that. You're a living witness now, and this is going on 40 years later. That you're calling to testify.
I'm at now is I'm a chaplain for a veterans motorcycle club.
Come on.
Et cetera, et cetera. I'll leave you with this. The very, very first verse God ever gave me was out of 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, and even into 19 there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Yes.
The old is gone, and the new has come.
Amen.
All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hey, David, I got to run, but awesome testimony, awesome word. Thank you. Friends, what happened to David can happen to you. It can happen to your kids that are lost. It can happen to your spouse that's lost. Get hold of my book, Time for Holy Fire, the most important book I've written on revival. It will stir your heart. We'll give you a picture of what God's done in the past and some keys to really see God move. We've packaged it together with my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is essential. Everyone needs to know what's happened in our country. Get the books together, just $30, postage paid. So it's a great deal, and you will be impacted by the books. Call or order 1-800-278-9978. Those of you on hold, love to hear your testimonies on the other side of the break. 1-800-278-9978 or order online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. If you can sow in an additional gift, it's a critical time for us. You would really bless us. So thank you for standing with us. It's a great time to become a monthly torchbearer too and help us spread the fires of revival throughout America. My bottom line, there is so much more that God wants to do. There is such a deeper place he wants to take us to. The needs of the world are so incredibly urgent. Now is the time to say, God, start a revival in me. Change me. Touch this dying world. If America is to be changed, that change will come from the church. But that means the church must be changed, and that means we need revival.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you know, my heart is always stirred. I'm always burning. I can't wait to get on the air and share the fire in my heart with all of you. But this first hour has stirred me afresh. I am so encouraged by the amazing testimonies I have heard and I have read from those who have been powerfully, mightily touched in revival. It's Wednesday, which means we focus on the world, but our focus today is not on the moral cultural problems, but on the solution to those problems, which is God visiting his people in revival. Revival fire falling. Revival fire falling on us and affecting the nation. God visiting his people afresh. A greater awakening than we have ever had. Oh, yes. As I wrote in 1990 in my book, How Saved Are We, a great awakening today would be a rude awakening. But the needs are so great. We have fallen so far from biblical foundations. Our young people are so far away. Our marriages are under such attack. There's so much of a mixture of the world and the church that when real revival comes, it's going to shake every one of us, me included. And revival in that sense, God visiting, is always more than we're asking for. More than we expected, something deeper, something unexpected, something that will rock our world. God coming in such a way, his presence so deep that we encounter him and we repent and we turn. And out of that turning, fresh passion, desire, hunger, thirst, love for the Lord comes. And we find him more wonderful than we've ever known him to be. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Here's what I'd like to do today. If you have a testimony, you were touched in revival. God transformed you in a real revival movement. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question about revival, what is it really? How does it work? How does it affect people? How do we see revival take place? By all means, call in with your questions. And if you've got a specific question about the Brownsville Revival, I was the leader there from 1996 to 2000. The fruit of that extraordinary move of God continues around the world with many who were touched and transformed, on fire today, bearing fruit today, making a difference today for the glory of the Lord. If you've got a question about it, maybe you heard other things or heard controversies and want to get to the bottom of it, by all means, call, because I was there. I was there for 4 years, and I was there for countless hundreds and hundreds of meetings. And if you had all the classes and everything else, thousands and thousands of meetings. And I'm an eyewitness to what Jesus did. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I want to ask you this question. Look at your own life. You're a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been following him for years. Is this it? Is this everything Jesus died for? You read the scriptures. Oh, I'm not talking about throughout eternity. I know we will only experience the riches of what he died for throughout eternity. But, ask yourself this question. Is this it? Is this the fullness of God living in us? Is this what should be expected based on what's written in the New Testament? Is this all there is? Is this the greatest witness that we can be to the world? Can we show the world that Jesus is risen from the dead based in our own lives? Are we living in an inexpressible and glorious joy? Are we experiencing that peace that passes beyond understanding? Are we walking in any revelation, any deep revelation of that love which is beyond description? And loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves? Or could it be that we've been weighed down with the world? Could it be that we've gotten compromised? Could it be that we've become discouraged? I want to tell you, as surely as Jesus is Lord, there is more. And God responds to hunger and thirst, not our good works, but hunger and thirst. And he has promised to fill the hungry and satisfy the thirsty.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, reminder. I just got reminded again. So I want to remind all of you, everyone listening in the greater Winston-Salem area, I'm looking to do this in city after city throughout America where we are on the air with you. Everyone listening in Winston-Salem, especially if you've been listening to me for a while, if you just started listening this week, please join me. Please join me this Saturday, a special meet and greet. It's called Dr. Brown in the Round. Oh, yeah. We'll be at the Hampton Inn Suites University. The address information is on our website, Ask Dr. Brown. And this phone number, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. It'll be 4 to 6 in the afternoon. So come on, before you go out for dinner, I want to meet you face-to-face. I want to share some of my background with you and give you even more the vision of what burns in my heart. I believe you're going to get excited and charged. We've got some free gifts for you. We'll have some light refreshments. And we'll even do some live Ask Dr. Brown. You can ask me some of your questions, and we'll answer them right there. So it's a great time to meet. I really want to give you a vision of what we're doing and connect. All right, so if you haven't RSVP'd to emails from the station, maybe you didn't get one, just give a call, the same number, 866-34-TRUTH, and say you'll be coming and let us know how many folks will be there in an email so we can get back to you. 866-34-TRUTH, get back to you if we need to. Let me read a testimony to you, a revival testimony, then I want to go to the phones. Let's see. How about this one from Angela? Brownsville ruined me. She's talking about the Brownsville Revival, Pensacola, Florida, 95 to 2000. Ruined me. I will never be the same. In other words, experiencing God move so deeply, seeing so many thousands of people get saved, get right with God, repent of their sins, experiencing the presence of God in such a deep, convicting, life-transforming way. How can you be the same after that? You know, it's like all your life you were eating at this miserable steak place and you know, the steak was like shoe leather, and that's the only steak you ever knew. You thought, that's steak. I don't know where everybody likes it so much, but I guess it's edible. And then you went to a fine steakhouse, like, how could I ever go back to the other place? So Angela says, Brownsville ruined me. I will never be the same. I was touched by a visit and then dropped everything to go to the school, the ministry school that I led, graduating class of winter 99. That school now continues with the same leadership right here outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been here since 2003, moved our whole organization here. She says, Jesus taught me so much in his presence, spending time in China, inner city Atlanta with Blood and Fire. This is an extraordinary inner city ministry. Working with the poor, taking that to London streets. In other words, being transformed by Jesus, you just want to go help hurting, needy people. She said, my husband and I, will eventually be on the mission field full-time. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom raising my children to not accept anything else but Jesus showing up. My five-year-old will bring revival in her school. She prays for a little boy in a wheelchair every day, asking God to heal him. Hey, why not? Why not say, let's just pray, let's just ask God? She said, all I know is to burn white hot and not settle for anything less than a move of God. It's the only option. Ruin, simply ruin. Fire with exclamation points. That was for you, Dr. Brown, because that's how I would pray for people over the years, just praying for the fire of God to burn in them. So she's dramatically touched, 99. It's now 13 years later. The fire is burning bright. The fire is burning in the family. And she's believing that she and her whole family will be on the mission field one day. 866-34-TRUTH. We're not just talking about holding a series of special meetings. We have revival scheduled next week. Oh, we have revival on the 8th through the 11th. No. You can't make it happen. You can't produce it. You can't work it up. If it's worked up, it's not revival. You can no more schedule a revival than you can schedule an earthquake. But, when God really visits, you've got to ride that wave while it's there. When he draws near, Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because his people did not recognize the time of their visitation. Wow. When God draws near, that's when we turn to him. That's when we cry out. That's when we seek his face. And as change comes, you're changed more dramatically. Seeking him, spending time with him, hungering for his word, reaching a dying world becomes more and more lifestyle so that visitation becomes a habitation. 866-34-TRUTH. Monique in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air.
How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm okay. Praying before I start speaking, nerve-wracking over here. I just wanted to kind of share the experience that I was enlightened to when I went to a revival awakening in Chicago last August.
And what happened?
Well, basically, my life has been changed dramatically in every sense of the way of just thinking and how I wake up every day and how I go out just to follow Jesus more and more. I was hungry and thirsty prior to the event and was just praying for the Lord to just use me as his servant and, you know, just researching and looking, just feeling more thirsty and had no clue to revival or an awakening and just being curious. And through about maybe 4 months of prayer, the Holy Spirit actually led me to go to this event. And it was the first time I was baptized through the Holy Spirit, and it was just amazing. And just how the Lord has been shining in my life with a lot of wisdom and knowledge and how to stay prayed up for revival, even within my church and other places that I go to visit. And I've always had the question, like, Lord, how do we ignite a revival, and how do we pray for the people to be awakened through this? Because it's so much more intense of just speaking the word of God to other people. It's just also, you know, letting them know, like, you're asleep while you're out, you know, like,
yeah. And the fact, you know, Monique, the fact is when we're asleep, we don't realize we're asleep. I have slept through appointments, or one time missed a flight because I set the alarm for PM instead of AM and didn't realize. And I didn't know I was asleep. If I knew I was asleep, I would have gotten up. And sometimes we're dreaming and we think we're doing things and we're not. So let me ask you this. Two questions I want to ask you. First question is, you were seeking the Lord. You were wanting to please him and go deeper. And yet it seems that you're saying that something happened beyond your ability. Is that what you're conveying? In other words, that you wanted God to move more deeply, but when you came into this environment where he was moving so powerfully, then something was like jump-started in you. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes, and it just changed my prayer life. Like, even with me going to weekly prayer service in my own church and learning how to pray more effectively and learn other things through my church and other brothers and sisters. The revival, I just felt like through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it just definitely let go of fear that I've had. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were so many things that were just happening to me that all of a sudden just stopped happening. And, like, I just received this path that nothing... My confidence just grew more. And even though that no one or even my pastors knew what a revival was or what they're speaking about since August of 2011, just 2 weekends ago, my pastor just mentioned a revival, and I felt like I was the only person in the audience that was just like, hallelujah, you know, Lord, like, I know that it's contagious. It just takes one person to pray for a revival, and, you know, it's just that powerful. There is power in prayer and just praying for out of your element, praying more than just your community or just your family, praying for people that you will probably never meet in your life, praying for other nations.
Yeah.
Just an awakening in your mind and how prayer can work, and just how reading Ezekiel and speaking and knowing that it says a vast army, and me praying, like, Lord, I want to be one of your soldiers.
There's
I want to be on your team. I want to be in your army. I want to ignite my fire for you to be in where you want me to be, where you want to lead me to do your work, you know?
Yeah,
I want to desire what you want me to desire, not my desires of this world anymore. And it's just like what I thought
wanted. I've just got to jump in only because we have a break, but... You've answered my second question in terms of the impact on your life and your burden for the harvest and your desire for souls and your desire for God to move mightily in the church, and I'm sure just in terms of your own life, you know, conduct, words, attitudes, that the Lord keeps changing you and causing you to grow into the image of Jesus. And your heart's overflowing because you've encountered God on a deeper level. And when you read the New Testament and how believers lived in Acts and how we're called to live in the epistles and what Jesus calls us to, you can look at that and say, yes, yes, amen, that's real, that's my heart. Whereas other times it's almost like we've got these blinders on and we read the words, and even though they speak of eternal things, we're not hearing them. Monique has a heart ablaze, and notice she's going deeper in God and seeking to pour it out on others. You want a key? Whatever God gives to you, give it away. Give away what you have. Be blessed. Turn around, bless others, and the flow of life will continue. Thank you for the call, Monique.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Revival, what is it? As I've defined it, revival is a season of unusual divine visitation resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Here's what Finney said as he was describing what happens in true revival. Backslidden Christians will be brought to repentance. He says a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Just as in the case of a converted sinner, the first step is a deep repentance, a breaking down of heart, a getting down into the dust before God with deep humility and a forsaking of sin. And he said Christians will have their faith renewed. And he said a revival breaks the power of the world and of sin over Christians. It brings them to such vantage ground that they get a fresh impulse towards heaven. They have a new foretaste of heaven and new desires after union with God. Thus the charm of the world is broken and the power of sin overcome. Great description. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a number of additional testimonies I want to read to you, as I asked online for people who've been touched in revival to call in or to write in and share their testimony. In the next half hour, I want to give you more elements of revival, more principles of revival, more of a picture of revival, so that we, God's people, could get into a place where Jesus is our all in all, where we're consumed with love and passion, desire for him, like perhaps we were for a brief time in our lives, perhaps as we were during what we call first love, and now we've gone from it. Maybe we're so far from it, we hardly even realize there is a way back. I want to tell you, however far you've fallen, there is a way back. God's word to Israel, as an example to us, wherever they were, scattered around the world, if from there you seek the Lord, if from there you seek the Lord, he'll meet you. And there are times and seasons when he moves, when he draws near, when he calls us to repent. And what's the promise? James, Jacob, the fourth chapter. What does he say? Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Put away the sin, the uncleanness, the defilement. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Ron in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah. Dr. Brown, I am hungering and thirsting after revival. For 30 years, I have prayed for a revival, fasted for a revival, begged God for a revival. Having been saved April 2nd of 72, I knew what revival was. It was causing Christ's bride to be appropriate for him.
Mm.
And so that's what Watchman Nee is saying, that anything less is subnormal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sense of his normal Christian. That's all for Jesus. All for Jesus.
And
so
Ron,
I prayed and I fasted and I begged God, please bring revival. Please shape up your people.
So, well, Ron, let me say this, Ron. When we are praying for something on a national level, sometimes we have to devote a lifetime to seeking him, to asking him. And the key is that our own lives are vibrant, that our own lives are walking in that intimacy. Even while we have that brokenness for the state of the bride, it was Watchman Nee who said by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks he's got a fever. It was Leonard Ravenhill who said the church has been subnormal for so long, when it finally becomes normal, everyone thinks it's abnormal. And we get used to what's around us. We think that's normal. You know, it's, you get used to the way you look, and then you look at an old picture and think, oh, boy, I changed a lot. And we get used to our current condition, and then we read the word through those eyes, and we think everything's okay. And then suddenly Jesus surprises us with words of rebuke and correction that we've drifted, we're far away. And those are his love invitations to come near. So I know people like Leonard Ravenhill. Had the privilege of being very close with him the last 5 years of his life. He saw outpourings. He saw God move powerfully. He saw God move through him when he preached. But he prayed for 60 years with tears for revival to break and revival to come. And I have no question that when revival broke in Pensacola and other places just 6 months after he died, and two of the men that he had poured into over these years were principal leaders in the revival, the one in particular, the one who God used to ignite it, Steve Hill, I have no question that his prayers were answered, and that much of what happened as a result of his crying out and believing and seeking the face of God. So we have to have that personal satisfaction of his presence, that intimacy with him, that joy of his presence, at the same time brokenness for an often sleeping, compromised church. But God will answer. No prayer that's prayed in faith before God is ever in vain. No prayer that's prayed in faith according to the will of God is ever in vain.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Ron, you know, when we really catch hold of it, it's agonizing. And we feel like I can't live another day unless God answers. But that's the type of desperate prayer that God will respond to. And when he responds, the results are dramatic. So hang in there, keep believing, and above all, believe that God wants you to experience the riches of his goodness and presence and joy on a daily basis while you pray for national awakening as well. All right?
Indeed. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your heart, man. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me try to grab one more call. Reverend Bruce on Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, brother.
God bless.
Love the subject.
Thank you.
Before I get into my testimony briefly, I just want to say this, that there can't be true revival void of the power of God.
Absolutely,
and
so.
Amen. And that's what I experienced at 17 years old. I had been saved only 3 years, and God saved me out of the world of the occult. And I really didn't understand anything about the Holy Spirit, except from the Catholic version, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the sign of the cross. But I was involved in going to a church service that my spiritual godmother asked me to go to. They were having revival. And she said, you need to go Friday night and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know what that meant, but I was so much in love with God that whatever he had for me, I wanted it. I didn't know what it was. All I know is I wanted it. And when I went to that service that Friday night, it was old-time churches that call for altar calls. Yeah. And they made an altar call for those that wanted to come down to the altar and tarry for the Holy Spirit the old-fashioned way. And I really didn't understand what people were doing because I wasn't raised up in the church. And I just got on my knees, and I was looking. I didn't have any counselors with me at that moment. They were over other people tarrying with them. But I was looking at them, and I said, okay, they're saying hallelujah, so I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. So I kept saying hallelujah, and because I didn't understand tongues, I didn't know anything about any of that. I was only 3 weeks old in the Lord. When it started to sound kind of strange and funny,
hang on. I got to jump in the middle of this. I know there is more. But obviously, you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that changed your life. In other words, we encounter God's power. Sorry, I had to jump in there. We encounter God's power, and that power changes us so that we become vibrant witnesses for Jesus, full of the Spirit. God bless you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Revival. Revival fire. God coming and turning the hearts of his people back to him. As Habakkuk said in the third chapter of his book, O Lord, we've heard the reports about you. We've heard about what you did in the past. We've heard about your mighty acts for Israel. But we've heard about these things. And Habakkuk's a contemporary of Jeremiah. It's a dark time in Israel's history. And he says this, O Lord, we heard the reports about you. We stand in awe of your deeds. Revive them in the midst of the years. Do again today what you've done in the past. In wrath, remember mercy. In other words, we know it's a dangerous, dark time. We know it's a difficult time. We know it's a time of apostasy. But we've heard about what you did in the past. God, do it again. Turn the hearts of your people back. Revival. Wednesdays, we focus on the world here, moral, cultural issues on the line of fire. Our focus today is on the solution to the problems, which is a revived church. Not revival meetings where we just hold special services and get all emotional and go home the same as we came. I'm talking about God visiting. As people refer to it, God stepping down from heaven, as I've written about it, a season of unusual divine visitation. If you've been touched in revival yourself or have a question about revival, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in with a testimony at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Here's a young lady. The first night that I was in Pensacola, Florida, in the Brownsville Revival, the first night I visited in May of 1996, I saw this young lady literally leaping for joy in the service as a teenager, and found out she had just been a lost young Methodist girl that got transformed. And I saw the joy in her life, and that's one of the things I saw, and I said, this is real. She just posted on my Facebook page, Janet, I was your typical Methodist teenager going through life, training for the Junior Olympic Games for gymnastics when this thing called revival came to my little hometown called Pensacola. Little did I know in 5 years, my life would be changed completely forever. I laid aside my whole gymnastics career, including 4 full ride scholarships, and went to an at that time uncredited Bible school called the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, founded by yours truly, friends. I graduated in the second class where I met my husband. We were married and moved to Dallas, Texas with Steve Hill to work with him, and his ministry helped plant a church and helping plant another church now. I love you, Dr. Brown, so much. Blessings from your little Meth Acosta. Yeah, I remember the transformation in her life. You could see it to the eye. It was so deep. It was so dramatic. And the lasting fruit now, what, from 95, 96 to 2012, 16 years later. Aletha, I gave my life to the Lord in January 1997, but struggled overcoming many things in my life. Let's just say I was always repenting at the altar on Sunday morning. Yep, long weekend, Sunday morning, time to repent. My friends were planning a trip for the youth group to check out a revival in Pensacola and asked me to be the chaperone. I went for 3 meetings, spring break 98, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night meeting was completely set on fire so that the things that once easily entangled me no longer had a hold over me. I am forever grateful. On a side note, I saw so much criticism about the revival from people at my home church about shaking manifestations, but the one thing I always pointed to and always hushed them was the lasting fruit of my own life. They noticed the change and couldn't argue with that. It does not matter. It does not matter if there's an outward response or not, if someone shakes or falls or cries out or weeps or laughs. What matters is a heart and life is radically changed, and out of that radical change, lasting fruit remains so that people say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is alive. I see the fire, the passion, the hunger, the desire in you. I want what you have, friends. We need it. We need it. We come back, I want to share something with you from my Holy Fire book called The Rhyme of the Modern Parishioner. Pick up the phone. Call a friend. Tell them to tune in. Tweet someone. Facebook them. Tell them to tune in. Your hearts will be stirred.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This, friends, is the rhyme of the modern parishioner. It is the opening of my book, Time for Holy Fire, which is a special resource that you can get this week. We put music to it, and this is a reading I did years ago. Let your heart be stirred as we focus on revival, the rhyme of the modern parishioner.
It happened in the vestibule at 10 one Sunday morning. A haggard-looking churchgoer sat plaintive and forlorn. Then suddenly he rose and found a hungry-looking Christian. He took his hand, took him aside, and asked him a straight question. You've read the Word, you know the book, the promises are clear, but have you seen the living God? Have you found him here? Have you experienced holy fire, the Spirit in his power, a mighty wave, a rushing wind, a flame that does devour? Is there something more you're seeking, so high, so wide, so deep? Do you find yourself frustrated? Is church putting you to sleep? And listen well, your heart is right. My tale I will tell. This story is your story too, and it's your tale as well. For 30 years I've been in church. It seemed like a good show, but now I've got to meet with God. Do you know where to go? I'm trapped in mundane worship times. The praises have grown cold. The preaching's dry and dusty. The teaching's stale like mold. Each service feels like a rerun. The songs all sound the same. The prophecies are so hollow, not worthy of the name. Words, more words, they're everywhere, but oh, there is a stink. Words, more words, they're everywhere, but none to make us think. We lack the heavenly presence. It's clear we're in a rut. I'm desperate for revival. It burns within my gut. I'm lovesick for my Jesus, so hungry for my Lord, just longing for my Savior. God knows that I'm so bored. Is there someone who can help me, who's touched the real thing? A man who's heard from heaven with a word from God to bring? Are there prophets burning with fire, servants who are ablaze, anointed and overflowing, appointed for these days? Do they carry the Spirit's burden and breathe the Lord God's breath? Are they set apart and holy, obedient to death? I hear the words of the Master. Come follow me, he said. If some Christians go their own way, I'll go with him instead. Oh, please don't do as I have done and waste so many years. Don't wait and wait for endless months. Move on. Outgrow your fears. Forget the 12-step programs. A seminar won't do. You need a touch from heaven to fill you through and through. There must be change in your life, a work of God that's real. Don't fool yourself with worn cliches. Don't let the devil steal. Don't miss out on God's presence or let these hours pass. Don't stop your soul from hungering. Get out of the morass. Dear friend, you are not crazy. Dear saints, you are not mad. There really is a problem. It's true you have been had. There's more, believe it. There is that place in God. There are holy visitations, new paths that must be trod. Will you get up like old pilgrim and seek that better way? Will you go forth on that journey, no matter what men say? Will you go out now and meet him and leave the crowd behind, forsaking dead traditions of Jesus you will find? It's not in another meeting, a nicely packaged hour, another harmless service devoid of heaven's power. It's not in another teaching, 3 points to fill your head. The word is always vibrant, but this stuff is so dead. We need God to send his Spirit to fully take control, to transform every member, to come and make them whole. Enough with man's religion. Enough with earthly plans. Enough with our new programs produced by fleshly hands. Just then in strode the pastor, his calling to fulfill, just doing his weekly duty. Then he became frozen still. For astir was that parishioner. He grasped the preacher's clothes and grasped the preacher's soul as well. And in that grasp he froze. Oh, pastor, enter the prayer room and shut yourself inside. Be emptied of competition and crucify your pride. Pray for holy visitations, caught up alone with him, consumed with heavenly vision. That's where you must begin. You won't find him in a textbook buried on page 22. He is the living God who acts. He wants to move in you. It's not only the apostles he'll bless and send and use. He will saturate your own soul if you will not refuse. So arise, get up, pursue him. Jesus, your true best friend. He is worthy of devotion. He's faithful to the end. Why should you starve on crusty bread and crawl along the ground? Your Savior is your source of life. Seek him. Let joy abound. Renew your life. Refresh your heart. Press in. Take hold. Pray through. Put first things first. Make God your goal. What else have you to do? Your Bible teaching stole your zeal. Your Bible schooling stole your zeal. Church life has drained you dry. You used to have such childlike faith. Now budgets have your eye. You used to be so passionate, so innocent and free that you've become professional. You'll preach for a good fee. Oh, set your sights on higher goals and not on dollar bills. Live in the light of Judgment Day. Ambition always kills. Let Jesus be your daily guide. Put him where he belongs, and soon his presence will arrive. His praise will fill your songs. Simplicity will be your style. Devotion, your new goal. Communion will become your aim. God's life will flood your soul. Oh, take your eyes off numbers. Church growth can be a trap. Go out and make disciples. Go out and bridge the gap. Pour your life out for broken lives. Let God your heart break too. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. Just live his will to do. Wake up. Be brave. Be honest today. Oh, hear his voice. Be ruthless with your schedule. Seek God. Make that your choice. You won't find him in your planner. No committee has the key. You'll find him when your soul cries out, there must be more for me. There must be more than building funds and sessions past midnight and endless talks with leadership disputing who is right. Somehow I know I've been misled. The model doesn't work. I'm not called as an executive, nor should I be a clerk. I'm called to be a man of God, a man whose spirit led, a healer of the sick and lame, someday to raise the dead. And with that cry, new life will rise. Your heart will be revived. Heaven's light will flood your soul. You will not be denied. The parishioner then turned his gaze away from flesh and blood. He looked to him who sends the showers, to him who sends the flood. Today, O Lord, you hear our voice and pour your spirit out. Saturate the thirsty ground and the spiritual drought. Revive us with your presence. Renew us from above. Touch the flock called by your name. Come fill us with your love. Do greater works in our day than that which you have done. Bring the fullness of your reigns and glorify your Son. That old churchgoer spoke no more. Another voice was heard, yet not the voice of flesh and blood. It was our Father's word. And if you listen closely beyond this little rhyme, you'll hear him speaking clearly. My children, it is time.
Yes, I believe the Lord is saying that to us. My children, it is time. If we'll turn to him, if we'll turn away from sin, from distraction, from the flesh, if we'll say, oh God, visit. Oh God, touch. Oh God, change me. Lord, I can't live the way I've been living. I know there's more. I hate the sin that's in my life. I hate the complacency. I hate the lack of burden. I hate the fact that I feel distant from you. I know there's more. Or you might be doing wonderfully well, but the world's dying around us, and it seems our message is not having impact. Oh, God, revive your church. Revive your people in the midst of the years. Habakkuk 3, Psalm 85, will you not revive us again? Revelation 3 to the church in Laodicea, you say, I'm rich, increased in wealth, have need of nothing, but don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What does Jesus say? I'm done with you? No. Come near to me. He's always saying, come near to me. Don't believe the lies that say it's too late. Don't believe the lies that say you can never experience God's goodness and power again. Don't believe the lies that say it's over. Don't believe the lies that say God will never come through. If you'll earnestly seek him, he's promised to reward those who diligently seek him. If you'll hunger and thirst for him and make it your priority to seek his face, and you've got a few minutes to read the word and turn off the TV and turn off the computer and get away from the distractions, and you take care of your responsibilities with work and with family, and then you go after him, friends, you will see God move. That clip you heard there, the rhyme of the modern parishioner, that's the beginning of my book, Time for Holy Fire. And do I have time? Now, don't quite have time to. I want to read the closing paragraphs of Time for Holy Fire. But remember, Jesus says in Revelation, the third chapter, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. If the Lord's convicting you, if you feel something rising in you and you recognize your need, you recognize you feel unclean, you recognize you're guilty before him, or you're reminded of the heights you've fallen from, turn to him. He's merciful, compassionate, and he saves the best for last. And your best years in the Lord can still be ahead if you'll humble yourself and cry out and say, God, visit me. Start revival in me. Friends, as leaders, what happens in us could spread across the nation. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're focused on revival, the great need in the church, and although America doesn't know it, the great need of the nation. Here's how I ended my book, Time for Holy Fire. Once while preaching near Buffalo, I visited Niagara Falls together with Jennifer, our older daughter. As we walked along the banks towards the falls, there was a clear, strong tide pulling the waters along. The thought struck me, that is the state of a growing church. It is progressing and moving forward, but that is not revival. Then we got nearer to the falls. The flowing stream had turned into raging rapids. The water was capped with white waves and the tide almost violent in its pull. Again, the thought came to mind, that is what most of us today call revival. It's a great increase over the normal state of things. Much more is happening and it looks really exciting, but it's still not revival. Then we came to the falls. They were absolutely awesome. I'd seen them as a little boy, but the reality was so much more powerful than the memory. They were not just grand and impressive. They were staggering. But I wasn't content just to see the falls. I wanted to experience them. So Jennifer and I joined a group of other interested tourists, rented out some big yellow raincoats, left our shoes in a locker, and went down to the rocks at the base of the falls. The closer we got, the more overwhelming it became. Torrents of water, so much water, crashed like thunder. In a moment, we were soaked. The wind, where did it all come from? Blew so hard it actually took our breath away. We were no longer spectators. We were participants caught up in the pounding, swirling, churning, flooding display of natural glory. There, in a face-to-face encounter with the raw power of God, with the majesty of the Creator exploding all around me, I could only raise my hands and praise him who lives forever and ever. I was swallowed up in the falls. That is a picture of revival. Are you ready? I read a testimony at the beginning of the first hour from a young man whom our ministry students in Pensacola, in the midst of the Brownsville revival, met in prison. What was he doing in prison? He had been on the beach drinking with his friends, but just about everybody in the area had heard about what God was doing in what was called the Brownsville revival in a little neighborhood, Brownsville, in Pensacola, Florida. And they began talking about it, probably mockingly, and he decided he needed to go. They're drinking on the beach. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes down. He feels he needs to go. They tell him how to get there. He gets to the service, ends up repenting, getting right with God. 2 days later, he goes to the police and says, I'm running from a six-month prison sentence. Surrenders to the police, and he was met in prison by our ministry school students, and he's on fire for God. That was the testimony. That's what God does. Read another testimony of a guy with some church background, but unsaved. His wife convinces him to go to a local church in Mississippi. He goes there. The band is really not doing well, and he volunteers to help, feels compelled to help as a drummer, but he's not a believer. The worship leader says, sure, go ahead, join us. He's there 6 weeks, even though the worship leader knows he's not saved. Obviously, he feels this is a way for the Holy Spirit to work on his life. And each week he goes in, prays with the pastor, the worship team, but he just pretends because he doesn't know how to pray. He doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. And the sixth week, a team comes in from the revival, from Brownsville, to minister there at the church. They're praying when he comes into the room, and the presence of God is so deep and real, he recognizes that what has happened is that he's come into the presence of a God that he is not worthy to be in. And for the next 4 hours, he is weeping, weeping for 4 hours. He and his wife, by the end of the day, surrendered to the Lord. Years later, he goes to ministry school, and he shares that testimony. That's what happens when God moves in revival. I remember a young man sharing his testimony. He had gotten out of prison. He was living in the world, on drugs, living in the world. His uncle invites him to a service around New Year's in Pensacola at the Browns Revival. This took place from 1995 to 2000. He's invited there, and he doesn't want to go. He's just out of prison. It's New Year's. He wants to party, but you know, feeling he should do what his uncle asked him to do, he goes to the meeting. And he got to get there hours before the service to get a seat. What do I mean hours? 12 hours before the meeting if you want to guarantee a seat in the main building. Otherwise, you have to be in one of the other buildings, overflow. It was that intense for years. It was like that. I mean, think of it. You look around a church service when it's supposed to start, and so many of our buildings, half full, third full, two-thirds full, people come in 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, half hour later, right? Oh, no, not here, because God was moving. They get there 12 hours before the meeting. He's there. He's not a believer, but he's never seen people with such joy, and they're singing and worshiping on the line, and he starts getting convicted of his sin. He starts getting overwhelmed, thinks, I got to do something. But he's with everybody in the parking lot. He's a little embarrassed. So at one point, they say, okay, if you've got pocketbooks, coats, different things, we just need you to put them in the car now before you come into the meeting, because everything was so packed in, we didn't have room for all that in the services. So he volunteers to go to the parking lot, and I heard this testimony the night he was baptized. He volunteers to go over to the parking lot and to drop everything off, but others are doing it, so there are all these other people in the parking lot, so he still can't get alone. So he finally finds a tree, gets behind the tree, gets on his knees, weeps and repents and gets right with God before even coming into the service and hearing the preaching. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need God in our own lives. Where's the love, the passion, the desire, the hunger, the thirst we once had? Where's that burden for lost and dying world we once had? Where's that love for the Word? Where's that tenderness and gentleness that we once had? God's a restorer. That's what revival is. God bringing back to life that which has gone dormant, that which has died, that which has lost hope, that which has become worldly, that which is compromised. And again, a great prayer to pray. Draw a circle on the ground or just get in a small spot and say, Lord, revive everything inside the circle. Start the work in me. Put a fresh hunger, desire, thirst in me, and then go after him. He promises to fill the hungry, to satisfy the thirsty. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Those are the promises. I know the hunger can be overwhelming, but have hope. God wants to move. God is jealous for the name of Jesus. God is jealous for his people. He's jealous for your well-being, and he's jealous for a dying nation and the purposes of this nation for which he's raised us up and so that we can touch the world. Cry out to him. Don't worry about how far away you are. It's not like you weigh 600 pounds and it's going to take 10 years to get to your ideal weight. God can move overnight if you get my spiritual drift and turn you in such a way you'll never be the same. I lay out so much of this in my book, Time for Holy Fire. I encourage you to get it. You heard earlier the rhyme of the modern parishioner, the opening poem, the long poem I wrote at the beginning. And we've got a special package, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is absolutely must reading to let you know what's happened in our society. It's essential. You have to know it. Our families have to know it. As leaders, we have to know it. And then Holy Fire, Time for Holy Fire, it gives you the solution. The answer with revival. The two together for just $30 postage paid. That's a savings of over $15. If you can add an additional gift to help us with our radio expenses and help us with our outreach to touch the world and help us spread the fire of revival, awesome. Become a torchbearer. Help us spread this on a monthly basis. Stand with us. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Thanks for holding our hands up, being torchbearers, helping us spread the fire. My bottom line, however far you are right now from where you used to be, however far you feel from the Lord, whatever has happened in your life that has stolen something from you, I want you to know God is the restorer. I want you to know that when revival comes, you can be closer to the Lord than you have ever been. Pray that prayer. Lord, send revival. Start the work in me.